about.
You got to put it in perspective.
These people in this circle is what matters here. You are the people I want by my side for the rest of my life.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Monty, I've heard you're a pretty flatulent guy. Any comment on that?
No, no, see here. Stop that. Attention, wireless listeners. Most of the sounds you are now hearing are not being made by me. Go, stop. Stop. Won't someone please stop the farting?
Don't worry, folks. He's not dead. I still hear some faint sounds of life.
I love this. Some men do not like the taste. I do.
That's like a sexual 9/11, in my opinion.
And now.
The Brazilians have the same word for making love to one woman as they do for making love to two. Magalish. Take off your top and say it with me.
Our feature presentation.
I'm not sure if that's how I want to get started on this morning's Kevin Bean Show with my top off. But Lisa, you go ahead if you feel the urge.
Well, that's usually on Thursdays.
Oh, darn it.
So tomorrow I'll do that.
Hey, party people, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday morning. We are monkey-free today.
Yes, we are.
I feel like it's when you come into school and the teacher is out and you have a substitute, I feel like we should be trying to think of something we can get away with since we have
run
no Kevin
amok
today. Yeah, we can run amok, exactly.
Like, let's start with spitballs. We'll see what develops.
See? I like it. Okay. I like it. I like the way you think. So before we get into today's fascinating new Kevin and Bean Show, I do have a story that I am particularly interested in here today because it involves a kidney donation, which is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy named Scott Mason who used to come up to Seattle fairly often to tweak my equipment, and that's not a euphemism. He's the guy who keeps the equipment running up here. He's the guy who comes up and changes light bulbs and greases things, again, not a euphemism, and just makes sure that my studio is in tip-top shape because, you know, unlike a radio station where you have real-life engineers who are there to do regular maintenance, my stuff, month after month, and it's turning into, year after year, completely neglected. Mm. It's like I'm in a Cold War bunker or something like that with equipment left over from the 50s that hasn't been seen since Scott Mason got my kidney.
Huh. Now, wouldn't you think that you kind of sealed that deal when you gave the man your kidney? That
talk about
you
what
count
have you
on him?
Done for me lately, right?
Yeah.
I thought, you know, Scott used to come up here pretty regularly, but once he gets my kidney, I'm going to be able to, you know, make a call, and he'll be up here in 4 hours and take care of whatever needs to be done, right?
Plus the kidney reunion.
Haven't seen him for 20 months. It's been 20 months since he's last been up here.
Seriously.
And the reason I tell you all that, dear listener, is because that's why I find this story so fascinating about a couple in Britain that's in the news right now, Samantha and Andy Lamb. They were married in 2007. A couple years later, Andy started having some health problems. His kidney had renal failure. His kidney deteriorated to the point where he went on dialysis, which is just terrible. Anybody who knows anything about dialysis, you get hooked up to a machine almost every night, and basically mm-hmm. you're trying to get the poison out of your blood. You die if you don't get hooked up to this awful machine for hours every night.
Yeah.
A lot of people hook it up to and then just sleep. That's how they live their life, right? Terrible way to go. Well, his wife stepped up and went through the proper testing and ended up donating a kidney to him. Happy ending, it sounds like. In fact, they even did a documentary on the BBC about it, made him quite famous in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
She had to lose over 50 pounds for the surgery to be in good enough health to donate a kidney.
Wow.
And happily ever after, you would think, until they just split up and she is accusing him of having an affair with her best friend. And now she says she wants the kidney back.
Sure she does.
Are you listening, Scott Mason? She wants the kidney back. If I don't see you here within a week, I'm going to be going to court myself, my friend. Fascinating story, by the way. She says she hates him now. If she could, she would get her kidney back and give it to somebody else. She said the only happiness she has is knowing that he has to think about her for the rest of his miserable life because he has her kidney inside of him. They did talk to a United States attorney to find out if this is the direction that the law is headed. Like, mm-hmm. what's, you know, as crazy as it sounds, Who knows the way things get ruled in court these days? Who knows if this would be a precedent? And an attorney here said, here in the United States, there are no property rights to a kidney. The first issue is this woman made a medical donation and one that wasn't conditional on him remaining faithful. The second issue is that no court could have jurisdiction over a body part. It's already in his body. So at least in the U.S., it doesn't look like you'd have much of a case to say, hey, I've changed my mind. Give me my kidney back. I don't know if that's going to be the same case in Britain or not.
Now, who was the comedian here in L.A. that his wife gave him a kidney and then they
split?
It was
George Lopez.
That's right. Okay,
yeah,
so I'm
right.
Thinking there's a balance of power shift when someone gets a kidney from someone else, because then it becomes take out the trash. Take out the trash. I gave you my kidney. Don't even talk to me. I wonder if like there's a thing.
Well, that has been my experience. I'm further down the list of priorities for Scott Mason since he got a kidney.
I see. I think he divorced you.
It sounds like it. It does sound. You know what? Remember on Lost when John Locke had his father show up out of the blue, out of nowhere. His estranged father showed up, and then I got all chummy with him and everything like that, just so he could get a kidney, and then he vanished.
Yes.
And John Locke was all excited because he thought he had a dad.
This
then
whole
dad
kidney
took his kidney and ran.
Suspect.
I'm starting to get the same idea, Lisa.
It's
as a matter of fact,
not good for relationships. I'll tell you that.
Doesn't seem like it. So no deed apparently ever goes unpunished. So I do feel bad for Miss Lamb in Britain, but I'll keep my eyes open and see if that one ends up going to court in Britain or if that's the end of the story. But that's certainly not what anybody expected when they had that happy reunion in the hospital after the surgery. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What do you say?
Well, that is a sucker punch to the gonads.
Well, I don't think it's quite that bad, actually. Matt Money Smith is going to be joining us within the hour. He is on the ground in New York City. Matt, of course, from the Petros and Money Show on AM 570. He's there covering the Super Bowl. Where I hear, by the way, not that they're having trouble selling tickets, but that there's not a lot of interest in the game in New York because no one in New York cares about either the Denver Broncos or the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, wow.
You would think the Super Bowl itself would be enough of a spectacle.
It usually is, right?
If you don't have a Patriots or a Cowboys or something like that in the city that has a lot of fans already living there, maybe people just don't care. But we'll talk to Matt about that. Also, speaking of the Super Bowl, Beer Mug, this one is of interest to you.
Yes.
I know how you now are a gambling addict.
Oh, yeah. Can't
stop. We're going to talk to RJ Bell. He's the founder of pregame.com. He is going to talk about the Super Bowl prop bets that you can make.
Oh, those are tough. Those are long shots. Many of them. Because they're so ridiculous.
Some of them are. But I'm sure there are plenty of ways to make money off of it as well.
But long shots. Yeah, you can make lots of money.
Well, Lisa, like one of them could be like, whose shoe is going to fall off in the first half? You know, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Who's going to score more points, LeBron James or the Broncos?
Yeah.
It's those types of bizarre prop bets, but I love that they exist. Our own Miss Double D, Brittany, is going to be on the program with us today. She had a little talking to at work a couple of days ago.
Did she?
She works in a bank, and they came to her and said, hey, your outfit is inappropriate for the office. To which I say, burn that place down, Brittany, if they don't appreciate you and what you're bringing into their workplace. So we'll find out what's going on with that and take your calls on the same subject. Speaking of the Super Bowl again, Chad Smith, drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, joins us just after 8 o'clock this morning. I find it hard to believe the reports are going around that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be doing Led Zeppelin's Dazed and Confused at the halftime show, because nothing sounds like more of a downer than that song on that day. But we'll ask Chad.
Okay.
We'll get it straight from the drummer's mouth. That's coming up. A brand new internet roundup today. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And Greg Kinnear joins us on the program today. Man, it's been a long time since we've had Greg on. He's on a hit new show called Rake. And we'll talk to Greg about that. Plus, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat, and that's next here on... It has pretty much turned into a dance party up in here this morning, hasn't it? What's up with that? Ralph Garman joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What the hell are we supposed to be fascinated with today,
Ralph? Supposed to be fascinated by Chad Smith, drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who set out to prove that people like Bean are just suckers. Just suckers.
Okay.
His point was that journalists, in quotes, will print anything a celebrity says as truth without doing any research on it first. He said,
well, how much more research are you required to do if you hear directly from the person a quote about what it is they're doing?
He proved this by saying to a reporter recently with a completely straight face, says Chad, we're doing Led Zeppelin's live version of Dazed and Confused. The interviewer accepted it and filed the story. Chad, thought it was hilarious because he said the live version of Dazed and Confused is 26 minutes long. At best, the Peppers will get 5 of Bruno Mars's 15 minutes, so that's how Brad was kidding. And so some people, you know.
Yeah.
Sucker!
We call him Chad, really, rather than Brad, but it certainly didn't make any sense to me. That's for sure.
This is a great story showing that, once again, you should not screw with the powerful Miss Sharon Osbourne. Big pre-Grammy party last weekend. I guess Clive Davis has a big one every year. And there was Sara Bareilles and her manager, Jordan Feldstein. They were at the party, and apparently Jordan Feldstein got into a heated argument with Kelly Osbourne. Sharon's mom, Kelly's mom Sharon, didn't like his tone, so stepped in and dumped a plate of food on his lap and a glass of water on his head.
Wow.
Wow, that seems inappropriate.
It sure does.
Hmm.
Now, Sara was up for major awards at the Grammys on Sunday. You may have seen her perform with Carole King. Her manager, Jordan, didn't show up to the event because he was so steamed about the fight with the Osbournes. And then Sara fired him on Monday morning. So, not a good weekend for Jordan Feldstein. Maybe he can get a job with his brother, who happens to be Jonah Hill. The older brother of actor Jonah Hill. So now we know what Jonah Hill's real last name is.
Okay.
Feldstein! Tragic news yesterday. Tragic. Remember the Kevin and Bean Screw the Crew campaign all those years ago, where Kevin and Bean were trying to get Motley Crue to break up and never tour again?
Well,
that seed they planted many years ago is finally is going to bear fruit. The band announced yesterday we'll do one last world tour and then officially call it quits forever.
Booyah!
At the end of 2015. Motley Crue, the final tour, begins July the 2nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan, then wraps up the North American leg on November the 21st in Vancouver, Canada. All of 2015 will be spent overseas. Alice Cooper is going to open all the shows in the United States and Canada, but once the end of 2015 comes, then the tour will be over.
What do you think about the thinking behind this, Ralph, that they're just so tired of bands just going on well past the interest in them and with band members dead or replaced, and they just want to go out kind of as originals and young enough to still be able to perform that material adequately?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
What do you think about
that? I said,
that?
What do you think about it?
What do you think about that? I think they think if we call this the last tour, the next tour we're going to get a really big paycheck.
That's what I think,
That's
too.
What I'm thinking.
Yep. Well, they're signing papers promising to never reunite or never play together again.
Well, I mean, you can't break a promise.
Can't break a promise. That's if you're a rock singer and you sign your name on a piece of paper, that holds forever.
You can't go back on that.
So you are cynical. You are cynical and believe that it is just an attempt to sell more tickets on another tour.
I am cynical. I am cyclical. I am cylindrical.
Okay.
And Kanye West paid off that guy he beat up at the chiropractor's office. TMZ says the 18-year-old got $250,000 from Kanye in a civil settlement, and there will be no criminal prosecution.
Nice deal.
Yeah. Apparently, the 18-year-old tried to negotiate for more money, but Kanye said, nope, me beating up is worth just $250,000. That's all I pay for beat-ups. Los Angeles DA says they can't charge Kanye with battery now because the victim won't press charges. And, by the way, the kid's got a filthy mouth, and jurors wouldn't like him anyway.
Oh, really?
So they're happy not to prosecute him.
Okay. There would be a long line of people who would line up to get punched in the face by Kanye West for $250,000.
Sure.
Pretty good deal.
I'll pay him $250,000 to punch someone else in the face. I would just line up a list of people I want punched in the face and say, here's a mill. Do your do, Kanye.
Go.
You do you. That's four. Four for a mill. It's not bad. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Adam Lambert. He's 32 years old today. He was the Freddie Mercury-esque contestant on American Idol, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Talented kid. Sarah Gilbert, actress, 39 years old today. Know her from Roseanne. Heather Graham, roller girl from Boogie Nights. And I think her best performance still to date was in Bowfinger. Did you ever see Bowfinger with Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy?
She's great.
It's a great film, and she's terrific in it. Actor-director Ed Burns is 46. Nicholas Turturro is 52. Oprah Winfrey celebrates her 60th birthday today. And actor Tom Selleck is 69 years old today. He, of course, still on Blue Bloods. Oh, I love Blah Bloods. Dave's the only guy I know watches that show, other than my 82-year-old father.
Yes.
He is 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I got great news for you, Beer Mug.
Yes.
Sunday is the second biggest day of food consumption in the United States after Thanksgiving. Super Bowl Sunday, the second biggest day of food consumption in the U.S. after Thanksgiving. So you can just go wild, man.
Oh, you know I'm going to be going wild.
And those are free calories. Those don't even count if you eat them on Super Bowl Sunday, is what I hear.
That's a super cheat day.
So, yeah, exactly. There you go. Super Bowl 48 is going to be this Sunday. Number one offense versus number one defense. Denver versus Seattle. I don't know how thrilled I'd be if they said, hey, you're going to New York to cover the thing, but we can ask a man who had that conversation, Matt Money Smith from the very popular Petros and Money radio show, heard weekday afternoons at AM 570. Matt doing his part this week from the Big Apple. Hey, Money, how are you, man?
What's happening, Bean?
Thank you so much for...
Here? Like, help me figure that one out.
We don't really go to where the Super Bowl is. That's not a Kevin and Bean thing so much.
Yeah, but don't you have like a Cam Chancellor tattoo or something on your left pec?
Believe me. The Seahawks being in it is awesome, and I would love to go, but not at 30 degrees for six hours outside.
I mean, really, a guy that lives in a town where it rains like 250 days a year and you're tired of people saying, oh, Seattle sucks, it rains all the time. It's not that bad. I mean, when did we all of a sudden be so adverse to cold that we're not willing to go to a freaking Super Bowl?
I'm sure, by the way, the people in Green Bay are just laughing their asses off at all the people in New York who won't go because it's too cold.
Yeah, it really is a ridiculous storyline. It's like anything. I mean, hey, you put on gloves, you put on a coat, it's fine. It's New York City. It's the big town. People have, there's 8 million people here. Deal with it.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, Matt, they were making it sound like it was going to be the polar vortex on the field. Like, they were talking about how it was going to be freezing ice and snow and 20 degrees. And then gradually, as we got closer to the game itself, it went up to 30. And now I'm seeing reports that the game might even start and it might be around 40.
Yeah, there actually is a prop bet available over under temperature. That's how much attention the weather has received in New York, and I believe it's at 34 degrees. So, yeah, although I will say yesterday was so cold that people really kind of started milking that. It's too cold for a Super Bowl. It was like 11 here all day, and I mean, it was, you know, punching your chest cold when you stepped outside.
Hey, and you're a guy from Chicago, so you know what that's like.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, because I have heard that New York itself, of course, it's a big city with lots of people, but in general, New York is not going crazy over having the Super Bowl there because they frankly just don't care about seeing either of these teams.
Yeah, I think there's probably part of that. Also, it's already a super congested city, and it's pretty hard to get around at night. You know, people want to go to their different restaurants. They want to hop in cabs. They're afraid of the train. So the streets have become quite gridlocked. That kind of started yesterday, and I'm sure it's going to be even worse today and tomorrow. And people, like I said, I mean, in a city of 8 million people, when they want to just try to get around and get to work and do their daily things that they're used to, it certainly has become awfully hard. And to do
right.
it for the Seahawks and the Broncos, two West Coast teams, I'm sure is just salt in that wound.
I guess it's kind of like the people who live in the French Quarter in New Orleans who love it there, except for when Mardi Gras comes around, and then it's just a pain in the ass to just live, right?
Exactly. But hey, deal with it. We're spending a bunch of money. You're getting all this tax and rental tax and hotel tax, and it's all going back into your pocket. So, again, deal with it.
So Peyton Manning is the only man on either team who has ever won a Super Bowl before. So there are a lot of question marks, a lot of things we don't know how it's going to play out. What is your sense of the game? I'm sure you've spent a lot of time thinking about it and talking about it this week, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when it's played on paper, it's, you know, they tell you defense wins. And, you know, you're talking about it's the first time in Super Bowl history, you know, in 47, now 48, this will be the 48th time it's played, that the first-ranked defense, yards and points, will face the first-ranked offense, yards and points. And in history, you know, when it's just been points that they base that on, best defense versus best offense, the defense has won four of those five times. So, you know, trends say that it's a lot harder to score points against a great defense than to have your defense victimized by a great offense is sort of how this thing plays out. So that probably favors Seattle.
You've been down there at Radio Row where they've been trotting in people for interviews all week long. Did you see Russell Wilson yet? Has he stopped by? What's he all about this week?
He will not do that. He did media day yesterday over at the Prudential Center. So, you know, the Seahawks players and the Bronco players were available yesterday. That's kind of how they do their media. They don't do the rounds at Radio Row. Like, I'm looking at my schedule today. You know, our broadcast starts at noontime for you on NFL.com. And it's, you know, guys that aren't in the Super Bowl. It's Eli Manning and Maurice Jones-Drew and Dan Marino's on here and Michael Irvin. And, you know, it's basically the people that are, you know, here to push something or to hawk a product, and or the guys that didn't make it in the Super Bowl that are just here to hang out.
A lot of talking heads. There's an awful lot of airtime to fill this week before the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah, no question. And that's why, you know, each day there's a different theme. You know, like you mentioned, the quarterbacks, obviously the fact that the Broncos have just four players that have been in a Super Bowl, the Seahawks none, that's been a big talking point. I assume at some point they'll get into these head coaches because Pete Carroll is so recognizable, especially there in L.A. with USC and such a dynamic personality. And, of course, you know, John Fox, kind of one of the more likable guys out there, so that'll be a storyline. You mentioned Russell Wilson, you know, a second-year quarter. I mean, it's endless. You know, they play this game out so many times on paper. It's seemingly never. It is interminable how many different outcomes you have every other day. Oh, the Seahawks will win. It's the defense. Well, you know, Peyton Manning is the Broncos. You just baffle it back and forth day after day after day.
Let me ask you, you mentioned the coaches, and I was going to bring this up too. It is a remarkable story to see the redemption of Pete Carroll, a guy who was fired from the Jets, a guy who was fired from the Patriots, left NFL because no one would hire him, made himself a success in college, and now is back. This really would be such a crowning achievement of a great coaching career if he could win a Super Bowl Sunday, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no question, you know, and he's been very upfront about that. You know, what went wrong in those two stops? Obviously, New England was almost an impossible task trying to follow Bill Parcells and the guy that guided, you know, those Patriots to a Super Bowl and lost, of course, to the Packers. Then you go to the Jets. He was only given a year. And, you know, fair or not, you know, Jim Mora, who's now the head coach at UCLA, was booted after a year in Seattle. And a lot of these players were so young when he was first there. Who's to say that he wouldn't have had the same sort of success? But, I mean, you credit Pete. I mean, he's done a great job. He has turned that roster over with John Schneider, the GM, and kind of has the type of players he wants. And it's just funny. You know, we always talk about how great these players are, or this coach is, and so much of it is circumstance. I mean, you think about Pete and whether or not he would have ever had this opportunity had he been the eighth choice for Mike Garrett at USC instead of the seventh choice to be their head coach when
wow.
they finally settled on hiring him. I mean, that's just the way these things sometimes break.
That is amazing. All right, last question for you. Every year they flirt with the most watched TV event ever, you know, or most watched Super Bowl ever anyway. This one probably isn't going to be that. Much of the country doesn't really care about these teams, right? We don't have a Patriots or a Cowboys or a 49ers or some team that kind of has a national following in it, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it typically doesn't matter. You know, I think when you're talking about 100 million plus viewers, I don't know if the Cowboys or the 49ers is going to push that over, because now you're talking about casual fans to get you to 114 million. You know, all the football fans are going to watch the game. And I mean, sadly, I guess if we're just kind of critiquing it because of who they are and where the teams play, I mean, you have the best offense versus the best defense. This should be one of the most watched games and one of the best games ever to see, you know, the two best units, one on each side of the field, go head to head against one another. So for that reason, I hope it's watched. I hope it breaks the record. I mean, it'll certainly be north of 100 million. And I guess at that point, you know, if you get to 114 instead of 108, I guess how much difference does it really make?
Wow, the NFL has just gotten so big. I mean, every year it gets to be bigger and bigger as a TV event. I mean, look at the NFC Championship game that got Seattle to the Super Bowl. 60 million people at one point were tuned into that game. They were over 50 for the AFC game, too. So, yeah, that's the takeaway from today's Kevin Bean Show, is that football is popular, kids. So you learned something on the program here today. All right, Matt, so you're going to be there all week broadcasting from New York on the PMS show, right?
Yep, all week, noon to 3 on NFL.com, and then, of course, 3 to 7 on Petros, and, or I should say 9 to noon. Jeez, I'm so off on my times right now. Yeah, so 9 to noon on NFL.com for the TV show, and then obviously 3 to 7 on Petros and Money on 570 there.
All right, well, we know you got a busy week. We really appreciate you squeezing in some time for us. Have a fun time there in New York City, and go Seahawks. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, Bean.
Listening for Rodney on the Rock. Hey, that's me. Anyway, that what you just heard was a band called Deep Valley.
Nope.
And that's called Walk of Shame.
No,
and
that
guess
was,
what?
That was
walk, only two people in
that
the band.
It was Walk the Moon, actually.
The drummer and the guitar player.
That's not
two
who,
ladies.
No.
Deep Valley.
We were playing
Walk of Shame.
That was Walk the
that
Moon.
That was really good.
Rodney.
Then you heard Maury Stern.
No,
in Year of the Glad.
We didn't play that either.
And then you heard Jay Well, Julie, actually.
Rodney seems to
change her name.
Very confused.
More confused than usual.
To just Jay.
Okay.
To Julie.
Okay, thanks.
It's Julie. Julie Rogers, okay. Actually.
We don't care,
Walking in the Sand, Shangri-La's song.
Okay, thank you.
She's from Japan.
Thank you, Rodney. Appreciate that. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. We'll talk prop bets at the Super Bowl coming up. Also, Chad Smith will be here from the Red Hot Chili Peppers talking about what they're doing at the halftime show. And I'm really excited to catch up with Brittany, Miss Double December, who got talked to at work about inappropriate dress.
I'm not surprised.
I'm outraged.
Of course you are.
I'm writing a strongly worded letter. Anyway, that's all on the way in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We hear a lot about global warming these days. The president even mentioned it in his State of the Union address last night so that all the Republicans in the House chamber could sit on their hands. But they don't talk much about methane. They don't talk much about how methane is coming into the air in an incredible volume. And methane can be very dangerous. There's a story in the news this week about a barn in Germany with 90 cows doing their part to inject as much methane as possible into the air, if you get my meaning.
Oh, wow. Yes, I do.
This is a cow farting story is what this is. 90 cows in the barn apparently sparked a methane gas explosion that damaged the building and left one cow slightly injured with burns. Quote, in the barn for 90 dairy cows, methane built up for unknown reasons and was possibly ignited by a static discharge exploding in a darting flame, said local police.
Oh, my God.
Parts of the roof cover were slightly damaged and a cow suffered minor burns, said police, adding that a fire crew rushed to the scene on the scene of the accident on Monday and a gas field crew later measured methane levels. So these cows just going about their business, eating their hay and doing what comes naturally. Next thing you know, the barn's on fire. So I don't know what the problem is, if they just don't have proper ventilation or what's going on over there in Germany. But we asked producer Dave, could he line up, please, the farmer who owns the barn in Germany where this terrible accident occurred? And I believe we have him on the phone right now. Hello, sir. We're calling the farmhouse in Hesse, Germany. Is this the farmer who owns the cows?
No, this is not the farmer who owns the cows.
Who am I speaking with then?
You're speaking with one of the cows.
Oh, we have one of the cows.
Right.
I'm so grateful.
What a shock and surprise for you, I'm sure.
It certainly is. I'm so grateful. A, that you speak, and B, that you speak English. That makes this bit so much easier to pull off.
Well, I'm not stupid, you know. I'm a cow who's well-educated in many languages.
Okay.
Listen to this. Adios.
Wow, very impressive.
Yeah, that's good, right? That's good, yeah.
Yeah, your accent is terrific. What is your name, Cal? What can I call you?
You can call me Gunther.
Gunther. Okay, Gunther.
Yeah, Gunther.
So, were you there that day with the other... Yeah, you were.
Oh, the horrors. Oh, it was a bovine 9/11.
It sounds terrible. It sounds absolutely frightening.
We were all just terrified by the, first of all, the build-up of the gas. But
yeah.
It was potent. It was unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
So
the alfalfa gives you a tremendous wind.
Yeah, it's not your fault.
No!
So,
nine!
So, it's you and your 89 other cow buddies basically just being Dutch ovened every day of your life, just waiting for this gas to be let out, right?
First of all, we're so bloated, mid milk, saying, oh, God, please work my teeth. Get the milk out, please, someone.
Sure.
And then you're there, you know, in the barn and it's smelly.
Right.
It's full of methane gas.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh, wow.
There's another flamethrower, as we call them now in the business.
Gunther. And there's no way to prevent that. You can't just not do that.
What are you going to do? Take a Gas-X? What are you going to do? Take some Beano? There's nothing you can do as a cow. You just chew the cud and then...
Oh, wow. This is unpleasant.
You're telling me, brother.
I guess I'm glad we're just on the phone.
So yes, we were in the barn, you know, doing dairy cow business.
Right.
And then suddenly, boom! A big explosion.
Yes.
And I said, "Here it is, the big one, boys! It's World War II all over again."
Uh-huh.
No, it was just farts blowing up.
Right. So static discharge is what they think? That's what ignited the meth? Ooh, wow.
Well, it could have been Carl, I think. Carl is a smoker. He's one of the cows who's a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was, he had a marble red over in the corner taking a break from being a dairy cow on his break.
That sounds dangerous.
He was on his break. And he lit up and... Oh, the horrors, the flaming horrors.
Most unpleasant.
Franz, poor Franz.
What happened with Franz?
He was the one who got cinched.
Oh, he was the one that was burned and was treated at the scene. I'm sorry to hear that.
He was too close to Carl.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he got, you don't want a hot Carl near you anywhere.
Just heard Muse. And, of course, they're going to be out at Coachella on Saturday, April 12th and 19th.
Okay.
That's on a Saturday. They're going to be playing out there with Churches and Lord.
Thank you, Rodney.
Tons and tons of bands at Coachella.
Coachella.
You can't get in because it's beyond sold out.
Oh, it is beyond sold out. Okay. Hey, Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
When Prince tells you to do something, you just do it.
Absolutely.
All right. Just want to check. Moving on.
All right.
My next story. No, Prince, such a big fan of New Girl that he called up New Girl and said, I want to be on New Girl.
Really?
Yes. And the producer said, okay. So they've written a new episode that will be on after the Super Bowl. Apparently where Zoe Deschanel's character, Jessica, goes to a party hosted by Prince. And Prince will play Prince on New Girl.
Have you tried that approach to get on New Girl yourself, Ralph, now that we know it works?
I have. I've called almost daily. And I say, I love your show. I want to be on New Girl. And they go,
right.
Who are you?
can't quite get back to you fast enough.
And they say, we have an opening in craft services. Can you cut a bagel? And I say, don't you know who I am?
Of course.
Speaking of Prince, if you like Prince... And you like sharing links to the bootleg videos of his concerts with your friends?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't do that, I would think. Don't do that. Because Prince has two words for you. And they aren't F and U. They are P and M. Pay me.
Are they L and W? Oh, that doesn't work. Never mind.
L and W?
It was going to be L and S lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
But then I got confused.
Yes, you did.
It would have been so good.
It would have been so strong, Lisa, really. It would have been the best thing ever. New York Times is reporting that his purpleness has sued 22 Facebook and blog users for a total of $22 million.
Whoa.
These folks just didn't watch his concerts. They sent links to the unauthorized websites to a whole lot of people. And Prince claims that by sharing his concerts, he's losing $1 million for each of the people who shared the bootlegs.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder how he arrives at that number.
I do not know.
It's not like there's a lot of DVDs for sale of Prince concerts that people could go out and buy. I mean, what people are sending links to are YouTube videos of somebody's cell phone camera in a crowd, right?
Yeah.
One of the concerts is a 1983 show that was filmed in Chicago, never officially released, and Prince is particularly upset about that one. He's got a list of 22 defendants printed on the lawsuit, most of them by their usernames, either on Facebook or YouTube or blogs. But... he's going after him. A million bucks a pops. He's going to pull him into court and say, pay me. He'll actually say, pay me.
I'm really surprised that he would take that stand just because he's not going to get the money. And it just does nothing but make him look anti-fan friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's out there. It's the people are consuming it. Just let it go, man.
You can't really stop the internet.
Just let it go.
Just exactly.
Just
if
let
Kevin
it go.
Were here, if Kevin were here, that's what he'd say.
Just let it go.
Just let it go. Remember, I told everybody who wanted to wear a Pharrell Williams Dudley Do-Right hat to stop it. You're an idiot.
Yes.
Turns out there are a lot of idiots. Many, too many idiots. The hat was identified this week as an item from the Vivienne Westwood collection from 1982. It's a vintage hat. The website that was selling it exclusively for her, the World's End Shop, crashed due to high traffic.
Good Lord.
Following the announcement. Because of the high demand, the hat will only be stocked at one store in the United States, Vivienne Westwood's boutique in West Hollywood. Yeah, we own it. Woo! Woo! We're number one. A limited edition run of the hat will be sold beginning mid-February. Color choices are black and brown, by the way. Get one of each, I think, for whatever you're wearing. $180 for the hat.
$180?
You heard me.
Come on.
You heard me. $180.
And they're flying off the shelves?
I'm going to go to that store. I'm going to wait outside. And everybody comes out with that hat. I'm going to kick them right in the shin.
I think that's great.
Well,
stupid.
Then you're going to have a lot of LW against you.
Yeah, I will. Lots of LW. And the big game's coming up on Sunday. Big, big, big game. What are you going to get? What are your plans, Lisa? What are your plans for the big game?
Movie?
What are you
going to
do?
Movie?
What?
Movie.
Lisa!
That's my favorite thing to do on big game
day. The big game!
Yeah.
It's the SB!
Yeah.
Look at an LW! Of course, a lot of people will tune in just for the commercials. One commercial they won't be seeing, however, is the SodaStream commercial featuring Scarlett Johansson's pretty face.
Why?
Well, now I'm sad.
Fox has announced they will not let the SodaStream ad hit the air because at the end of the SodaStream ad, she mentions the competition saying, sorry, Coke and Pepsi.
Oh.
Ah, and Pepsi's a sponsor of the halftime show,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So they are not going to allow that commercial to air because you don't take on the big two when it comes to bubbly.
They were trying to slip that by, weren't they?
See? Sorry, Coke and Pepsi. No! Hey, we heard you.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlett Johansson, I don't care. She could say, sorry, democracy. Communism's the best. And I'd say, let the commercial air. Scarlett Johansson, the CEO of SodaStream, by the way, Daniel Birnbaum, is not happy, as you can imagine, about the development. Likens the censorship to what happens in China, he says. It's like China. And he's disappointed in America. Well, I am too, but not because of SodaStream commercials.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage?
That's right.
SodaStream.
Just let it go.
Making your own soda at home. That's the American way.
I love SodaStream.
Do it yourself. Make your soda at home. Sorry, Coke and Pepsi.
Dude, yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Lambert from American Idol fame. 32 years old today.
He's another example of someone who didn't win American Idol, but is way more famous and successful than the person who beat him.
Yeah. I can't believe he only did a small stint as lead singer for Queen, because it really seemed like just a slam dunk for both.
Perfect match.
Just
absolutely.
Just go on forever singing those songs. Actor Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne is 39. Heather Graham turns 44 years old today. Ed Burns, director and actor, is 46. Nicholas Turturro, very talented actor from NYPD Blue and other projects. He's 52. Oprah Winfrey turned 60 years old today. Charlie Wilson of the Gap Band is 61. Oh, we got to get a little, you dropped a bomb on me today.
Absolutely.
We'll get to that in about an hour. And Tom Selleck, actor, mustache host. He is 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers joins us. Actor Greg Kinnear will be here. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And we'll catch up with Miss Double December, who is in trouble for something else again in about 15 minutes. First, though, Lisa May, got any bets in on the Super Bowl for this weekend?
I do not.
Really? How can you not?
I am the wrong person to have this discussion with. Ask
Super Bowl is not your favorite week, is
not
it?
Not my thing, no.
Yeah, of course you can bet on whether it's going to be Broncos or Seahawks, but you can bet on hundreds and hundreds of other things, and that's why the Super Bowl really is the Super Bowl of betting. And we are very excited to welcome RJ Bell to the program. He is the founder of pregame.com, and that's where you want to go for all your awesome prop bets for Super Bowl 48. Hey, RJ, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, great to be here. You know, the thing is, even fans that are casual NFL fans that maybe only make one bet per year, usually that bet is the Super Bowl. Now, it's not so much with a bookie, but it might be at a party. There might be a Super Bowl square. So a big chunk of the people that have a little something on this game don't make any other bets on sports the entire year.
Before we talk about the game and what you're offering at your site, how does a guy like you, and obviously a very smart guy, you went to the Ohio State University, graduated degree in finance, valedictorian, how do you end up in the betting business?
You know, I grew up about an hour out of Pittsburgh in a small town in Ohio with about 4,000 people. Dad was a coal miner. Friends' dads were coal miners, mill workers. And, you know, when you were 14, 15, you know, starting to feel like an adult a little bit, there wasn't, you know, I'm 43, so there wasn't any internet back in the 80s. You know, you had 13 channels on the TV, and Kevin and Bean wasn't available. on the radio. So really what happened was betting became really part of your life at a young age. I made my first bet when I was 14. I won my first bet. And you hear that a lot, is when you win that first bet, you get the taste for it, you know, and it's hard to win long term. But that first win is something everyone remembers. And, you know, I had an analytical mind and I had an entrepreneurial spirit. So for me, there wasn't really an opportunity to necessarily start a business. But yeah, I could bet sports, I could play poker, and really in middle America, down south, a lot of places other than the urban cities, that's very, very common.
Well, there was no question you were going to end up in Las Vegas, though. So pregame.com, some of these prop bets that we're going to be talking about, can our listeners contact you to bet on them, or are they not allowed to do that from California?
Yeah, not at all. In fact, pregame.com is entirely an information site. So the analogy would be ESPN gives you sports information, pregame.com gives you sports information if you want to bet. But if if you actually want to bet, you either got to be in Vegas or, let's say, some alternatives out there.
Okay, gotcha. Let's talk about Sunday. Can I bet on what color the Gatorade will be that is tossed onto the winning coach?
Yes, and usually it's funny you ask that, because usually that the odds on that are front and center. But this year, all the way up now to Wednesday, the odds haven't come out on that. So I'm not sure if there's a sense. And this happens sometimes, because the most common question I get is, wait a minute. And I mean savvy, smart guys ask this question. They say, wait a minute, if there's an over-under on the color of the Gatorade, why doesn't the team just fix it, you know, make it orange, let's say, then bet $1 billion on it? You know, you hear that question all the time, and it's like, whoa, is these props, for the most part, have very low limits, you know, maybe $500 or sometimes less than that. So it's really hard to fix it. But what does happen sometimes is there's a leak where actually someone that does know will tell someone in the sportsbook industry. And once one person knows, everyone knows, because they're all buddies. So my guess is it's either that prop didn't get a lot of attention last year and they're not really focusing on it, or someone kind of knows what the color is going to be. Now, you can't know for both teams because it's about the winning team, but let's say they both have orange. I think there's something funny going on, because that prop's actually not up yet.
That's interesting. And, you know, it's funny because the Red Hot Chili Peppers, we're going to talk to Chad, the drummer from that band, next hour. They're playing at the halftime show with Bruno Mars. And some of the prop bets that I've seen floated around have to do with the performance, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, what songs they're going to do, what they're going to be wearing, whether Flea's going to show his penis. I mean, those are the types of things that is also insider information. Somebody in the Chili Peppers camp could know that in advance, right? So same problem. That kind of spoils the bet.
It does. But once again, since the limits are so modest, so let's talk Chili Peppers for a minute. One of the simplest bets out there, and this is another example of these entertainment prop bets where, you know, the ladies who aren't necessarily NFL fans who are at the party have something else to root for. But with the Chili Peppers, it's a 50% chance. So it's literally a coin flip, even money. Will one of the members be shirtless during the performance? So I think that's something everyone can understand. And if you're a fan of the Chili Peppers, you probably have an opinion on that. But right now, you can pretty much bet 100 to win 100 on that bet.
We're talking to RJ Bell here on the Kevin Amin Show. He's the founder of pregame.com, talking about the prop bets at the Super Bowl this weekend. The weather has been a storyline leading up to the game this year more than ever, because the Super Bowl is in a cold weather city. Any bets we can make about the weather?
Yeah, a bunch of them. And another thing to think about with the Vegas odds is the idea they are the most predictive of anything when it comes to sporting events, when it comes, for example, with the Oscars. That's something we're starting to do some work on already. Is here's why you know they're that predictive, is if some other prediction approach was more accurate, let's say your opinion was more accurate, or if you had a computer program that was more accurate, well, you could make millions literally beating Vegas. So what ends up happening is Vegas gets the best of everyone's opinion, and they are able to consolidate that to a borderline unbeatable opinion. So if we're speculating what the weather is going to be like, we could turn on the Weather Channel, or we could look at the Vegas odds, and I'm going to tell you the Vegas odds are going to be more predictive. So in this case, will there be snow? That's a question a lot of people are asking. Well, right now, if you look at the odds, there's a 31% chance that there will be snow. So it's a pretty big underdog that there will be snow during the game. And if you think there will be, $100 wins you $200. So it is an underdog type play. Now, the other consideration is temperature. So over under right now at kickoff, will it be 32 degrees or over or under? Right now, there's a lean towards the over, a 56% chance there will be a temperature above 32 at kickoff. So right now, from Vegas, from the sports books, no snow, and it will be not freezing temperature is the prediction.
That is unbelievable. It's unbelievable that there are grown adults in this country who are, that's their job, is to figure out what the temperature is going to be at game time. I love that so much. over $10 billion worldwide bet just on this one day on the Super Bowl. Does that number sound right to you?
It sounds conservative, to be honest. And that's the thing about the worldwide is people say, well, yeah, RJ's in Vegas because that's where sports betting is. Well, yes, legal sports betting, this is the one place where it's 100% legal and there will be massive bets being made. In fact, just to quantify how big this is just in Vegas, I talked to one expert yesterday. He said there will be 100 separate six-figure bets on the Super Bowl just in Nevada. So think about 100 times someone's going to have at least 100,000. Now, sometimes historically, there's been million-dollar bets on the Super Bowl, seven-figure bets, and that's just Nevada. And you know something? Nevada is less than 1% of the worldwide handle on NFL football on the Super Bowl, for example. So the fact is, in Nevada, there's going to be about 100 million bet on the game is the projection, but worldwide, 10 billion. And again, this is an example where there's estimates out there that half of adult Americans, 50% of them, will have something at risk on this game.
You picked the right business to go into, my friend. Good use of that degree, actually. A lot of people waste their college degree, man, but you were smart to stick with it. RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com. That's the site you want to go to for Super Bowl prop bets, and it sounds like a lot of other stuff throughout the year as well. RJ, enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for the time, man.
My pleasure.
When you need somebody to stand up for justice, the Kevin and Bean Show is there. And that's exactly what we're doing in this time, because there is a problem, ladies and gentlemen. There's a problem that we need to deal with, and there's a problem that involves our favorite little woman, Brittany. Miss Double December 2014, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time, I think, in the new year. Hi, Brittany. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you guys?
Well, Kevin's out today, I'm sorry to say, so you don't get to say hi to him. But we miss you, and we love you. And I love following you on Twitter, and our listeners should, at Britt, B-R-I-T-T, Bricks, B-R-I-X-X, because there's so much drama in your life, girl. It's like watching a Real Housewives episode.
And I love it.
I mean, yesterday, was this for reals, or were you just joking around? Were there penises showing up in your Instagram feed yesterday?
Yes. I got my first penis picture on Instagram Direct.
Beerbug, I didn't even know you were on Instagram. What's going on here?
Absolutely.
And then we don't even have time to get into it now, but you also tweeted something last week. You were listening to the show. We were talking about somebody getting arrested for something, and you were tweeting about your own arrest, which I didn't even know about. But I think we're going to have to save that for another time. But you literally did get arrested, right?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have the craziest life, Brittany. All right.
I know.
What can we help you with today? What's going on? What's this problem you have at work?
So I got called in to my human resources manager's office because my dress was too short at work.
Ooh.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah.
What kind of, don't give too many details away, what kind of place are you working in, Brittany?
I work at a bank.
Mm-hmm. You work at a bank? Okay.
Yeah, so there's definitely a dress code.
Yep.
And what do you know about that dress code? Like, in general, what do they tell the people that work there? I mean, obviously, business professional is the mode in most banks, right?
Correct.
And have you ever had any problems with them before?
Oh yeah.
How many times have they talked to you, Brittany?
The dress code thing has been a problem my whole entire life.
The thing that I was surprised about, by the way, we did put this picture up. I know that you're, because Brittany was kind enough to tweet it out the other day. It is up at krock.com or kevinab.com. If you want to see the photo that we're talking about, Brittany got spoken to at work because her dress was too short. So we did put the picture up there. And we've also added a poll so that you can vote whether you agree with the bank or agree with Brittany. And I'm telling you, there's only one right answer here.
Yeah.
The thing that I was surprised about, Brittany, and you must run into this problem all the time, is you would expect that if there's a complaint to you, it would be about your boobs. But your boobs are pretty well covered up in this dress anyway.
Yeah, I always cover my boobs at work because I don't want the extra attention when I'm trying to do my job. It's very distracting when people are looking at my chest. So I tend to cover up my boobs but show my legs a little bit. And I'm 5'8", so a dress on me is going to look a little shorter than, say, someone who's 5'4 or something.
Right. And so what do they do in this case? Is this like in school when you're wearing a, you know, you're wearing a gang sign on your T-shirt, they make you put something else on top of it to stay in school, or they send you home to change? What do they do to you?
Well, fortunately, this time I didn't get sent home to change. They did warn me that the next time I would be sent home with no pay or possibly suspended and maybe even termination.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
You're serious.
Lisa, have you brought up krock.com? Are you looking at the photo?
I saw the photo.
Lisa.
Well, I wouldn't call it business attire. Even if it were longer, I don't think I would call it that. It's just
Why?
A little too lacy. Yeah, it doesn't fit a bank. I've worked in banks and would never have worn something like that. You look great, but I kind of see their point.
I kind of see it too, but at the same time, I'm young. I want to add my own style to things. And, you know, I want to look cute. But
yeah.
I guess
it might take a little more work on your part to get it by the censors.
Maybe.
Again, you can go to krock.com or kevinab.com. You can see the picture of Miss Double D Brittany, who got spoken to at work because the dress was too short. Kevin tweeted you back that day that it happened, by the way, that you should have gotten a bonus, WTF, and I totally agree with that.
I agree with that, too.
As of right now, by the way, the voting is 70% know she looks great, 30% pull that skirt down a bit. So apparently 30% of Kevin and Bean listeners are the Taliban, which I am very distressed about. I didn't realize that. So Brittany, is this a struggle that you go through every morning as you're laying out your clothes for work? Is, all right, how can I feel the best at work today but also not get in trouble and lose my job as a result of it?
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Well, you keep doing the Lord's work, Brittany, and you keep you dress however the hell you want, all right?
Thank you.
Bean will pay you if you get suspended without pay. Right, Bean?
I didn't hear that. But,
oh, okay.
Again,
I thought that's what you were saying.
You should follow Brittany on Twitter at BrittBricks. And where's your – you got an Instagram, too. Where can people follow that, too, Britt?
It's the same name, at BrittBricks.
Okay, great. Now, I thought this would be fun, and you should listen, Brittany. We're going to let you go, but you should listen. We want to invite Kevin and Bean listeners who have been in your shoes. You've been spoken to for dressing inappropriately at work. We want to hear from you, and we want to find out if it's a struggle for you. I assume it's going to be mostly the ladies, although, I don't know, there could be some guys, I guess, who are wearing, you know, no shoes to work, right, Beer Mug?
Hey.
So if you've been where Brittany is and they've come to you and they said, wow, it's too distracting, or you're too sexy, or you look too hot in that, or the old ladies in the office hate you because of what you're wearing, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take your calls next. Miss Double D, we love you. It's great talking to you on the Kevin and Bean Show again.
Love you guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I guess what I'm saying is I don't like anybody to make our Miss Double December sad.
Well,
don't go to Brittany and tell her she doesn't look great, because she does. You can see the photo of why she got talked to at work the other day at krock.com or kevinabean.com, and you can cast your vote as to whether it is an inappropriate look for the workplace. We're taking your calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Did this happen to you? Let's start with Laura. She's up first. She's on line 3. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Well, I worked at a dealership a few months ago, and I used to get talked to, like, all the time about everything. Like, everything I wore apparently was not okay. And the thing is, I'm Hispanic, I'm Latina, I have a bigger butt.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything looked too inappropriate, you know, everything, you know, a pencil skirt.
Are you driving a truck now? Is that your job, Laura? It sounds like you're backing up. What's happening? Or is your ass so big you literally make that noise when you back up?
No, it makes it like the beep. I have to back you out. Yep. Let me sound nice when I back up. I'm sorry. I'm on the way to work now.
Okay.
But okay, go ahead.
They actually had to develop a dress code after that for all the girls in the dealership because, everything I wore was too inappropriate.
Everything you owned was too inappropriate for the... Was it an auto dealership? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I worked at a dealership. So everything I wore was inappropriate. But the thing is, nothing was too revealing. It's just that I couldn't have my butt.
How about that? Crazy times. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Laura. Thanks. Let's go to Nancy. She's up next. She's on line 5 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I worked at a real estate agent. I was the executive assistant, and I was called into the boss's wife's office because my slacks, my pants were too tight. And it was just hugging the hip, hugging the butt a little bit. And but I thought it was not fair because all the other women who were a little fuller figured wear really tight pants, and they were never, you know,
and
nothing
was
ever said to them.
Did you point that out? What did they say?
No. I didn't point that out.
You just hung your head in shame.
Do you think sometimes that's the problem? And I don't want to start any kind of war between women here, but do you think sometimes that's the problem is that the women who don't look good in those outfits are the ones who complain about the younger, hotter women that do look good? You think so?
Absolutely. And some of them show cleavage, and I always button up my shirt all the way up. And,
I also think that women who are bigger and wear pants that are too tight aren't sexy. So it doesn't really occur to anybody that that's too sexy. But if you look really good, it's too sexy.
I wish we could hire every person that's calling us this morning. Why can't we hire them to replace Beer Mug? Thank you, Nancy. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Tracy. She's up next. She's on line 6. She's working in an escrow office. And what happened, Trace?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
So I work with the CEO and the president of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I was wearing they're actually nice jean shorts. And so I was wearing jean shorts. So I put on a nice blazer to make a dress a little bit more.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to fly jean shorts by us.
I gotta side with the escrow office in this one.
But look, they were nice, Bean.
You're not making a Dukes of Hazzard movie, all right?
And I wore these wedges. They're really high. See, the thing is, I have really long legs, and I'm pretty tiny.
Holy moly.
So
Tracy, I'm sorry. The judge has ruled against you in this case, but thank you for appearing in front of the court. We appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Evelyn. She's up next on line 8. Tracy's tried to pull off jean shorts and high wedges at an escrow office.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. All right, Evelyn, what's going on with you?
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Hi. Well, I used to work at a bank a few years ago, and I'm pretty small. I'm about like 108 pounds, but I have natural double Ds.
Giant size cans.
And so I can't always find appropriate conservative clothes that fit because they're either too big or too small, and my ladies want to come out and say hello. So I used to get talked to a lot, and one time luckily I had a blazer in the car, so I was able to cover up, and then after that they said that they would send me home if I didn't buy appropriate clothes.
I'm really moved by your story.
Do you have a tear in your eye, Bean?
This is one of the saddest things I've ever heard. Tell me again how you're so tiny, but your boobs are so big that you can't cover them?
I can't. Not with button-ups. It's hard. They just pop out.
That has to be so hard for you.
It is.
It's so hard for Bean right now.
How dare you, Lisa? How dare you suggest that this is for me? This isn't for me. This is all about Evelyn and the struggle that she's going through.
Yes.
Look, if Evelyn's boobs aren't free, none of us are free. USA! USA! USA!
USA!
I don't know if you were listening in the office, Ralph, but tough times in here talking to our listener who's having trouble covering her boobs at work.
Yeah, very sad.
I got a low creepy threshold. No, I just couldn't. I had to flip over to Big Boy.
Really?
See what he
there
was
wasn't
about.
Anything creepy about that. I was worried about her. It sounded like she was in distress. She couldn't find a shirt to cover her boobs because they were too big.
Yeah,
Ralph,
I heard you.
That's a problem. All right?
I heard you going. Yeah.
Hey, we'll talk to Chad Smith, drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, coming up after the top of the hour. Find out what's going on for him this Sunday at the Super Bowl halftime show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
Speaking of being creepy, I couldn't help but be fascinated with a story in the other room. I was just reading about the jury in England who was chastised by the judge and the prosecutors after they broke out in laughter when prosecutors were describing how a cow rejected the advances of a man trying to have sex with it.
What?
Yeah, guy was trying to have sex with a cow, and he got his feelings hurt because the cow rejected his advances. So then he moved on to the same sheep in the same field.
Oh.
61-year-old Paul Lovell is attempting to have sex with a sheep just minutes after he tried and failed to have sex with a cow in a field near London. There was a couple who reported him. They were about 250 yards away from Lovell as he reportedly laid on the ground and took his shorts off before attempting to have sex with the cow. The cow ran away from him. So then the prosecutors told jurors the man decided to try his luck with some sheep. At that point, the jury burst out into laughter, and the judge chastised them for laughing.
Really?
At his charges of outrageous public decency is the charge.
Hmm.
Luckily, however, authorities were able to nab him before he went on the lam. So.
Don't have sex with animals, people. Please.
That isn't good for you.
Don't exactly.
Certainly don't get caught.
No, well, just don't do
saying.
It.
No, we're saying don't get caught.
This is a don't do it situation,
we're saying don't
Ralph.
Get caught. You know, do whatever you do in the privacy of your own barn. That's your own business. But you don't do it in open fields, you know, where couples are trying to have a picnic. That's not good for anyone. Well, looks like Sean could save the world, but he couldn't save his show. Sean Hayes' show, Sean Saves the World, has been canceled by NBC.
I couldn't get interested enough to watch
if
one
Lisa,
episode.
If Lisa couldn't watch.
Yep. It just
Sean looked
too
Hayes
dumb.
Saving the World. Who could? NBC ordered 18 episodes, 14 of which have been filmed, 12 have been aired, but that is it. NBC says they might burn off the remaining two episodes after the Winter Olympics, but no other shows will be produced. So, not great news for Sean Hayes.
No.
Or the world, apparently, because he won't be able to save us anymore.
I mean, NBC, you know, they tried to bring back Sean because he was very popular on Will and Grace for all those years, mm-hmm. just like they tried to bring back Michael J. Fox. But sometimes the beloved star isn't enough.
No, sometimes you need a script and a premise and a decent show.
Just watching the trailers for it that they would play every once in a while, the promos, I thought, isn't he bored doing this crap?
Yeah, you'd think.
Ugh.
But this time he had a daughter, you see.
Oh, well, that's special.
That is special. Justin Bieber may be moving out of Calabasas. How
great news
are those people?
His neighbors are packing him up even though he's not there.
They're sending him fruitcakes and pies and good luck and best of luck. And they're helping
him. Cardboard boxes.
They're talking to the post office trying to get his mail forwarded. They're doing anything they can help.
Now, who are the victims? Where is he going?
Yeah, I don't know. TMZ reports he's tired of the suburban life, as he calls it, in ritzy Calabasas, California. Ready to put his house up for sale. The egging thing apparently was the thing to put Justin over the edge.
The egging he did.
Yes.
That's what put him over
well,
the edge.
Well, he got in trouble for it. Now he's just, you know, what? People can't take a joke?
That's just good fun in the suburbs.
That's right. Keyshawn Johnson, who had several run-ins with him, famous NFLer, he's already moved. He just sold his house to Kourtney Kardashian. So people are actually moving out of the neighborhood, Justin had been in, and now looks like Justin maybe will save them the trouble and take off himself. You know, Justin, the real estate is way cheaper up in Canada. Just want to give you a heads up.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. Got a good deal up there.
That's your family, basically.
Right,
you should
right.
go there.
Or Panama, where you are now. Just go ahead and stay there. Absolutely. Don't feel the need to rush back to the rest of us.
Panama!
Sure.
Benedict Cumberbatch has a new movie in the works. It's going to star in the thriller Blood Mountain.
Ooh.
Yeah. He'll play a military contractor whose special forces team is ambushed and killed during a covert raid, forcing him to personally escort one of the world's most wanted terrorists over hostile terrain in order to bring him to justice. Blood Mountain.
Hmm.
I guess they have to go over Blood Mountain.
Guess so.
And Chris Pine's got a new movie in the pipeline as well. It's called The Line. He'll play a federal agent who is forced to protect a 10-year-old boy who's orphaned after a shootout with a criminal cartel. I bet he and the boy form a very special relationship.
You think they'll have a bond?
They learn a lot about love and life.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Chris Pine was going to get tired of carrying a gun anytime soon.
That's all he does anymore.
It's pretty much. It's a phaser or a handgun. It's always got something in his hand that shoots other people. Miley Cyrus's upcoming Unplugged special on MTV will feature a special guest. According to E! Online, Madonna is going to be stopping by to do a duet with Miley Cyrus. Oh, finally, I can ignore them both at the same time.
Now, does that air tonight, Ralph? Is that your information tonight?
Does not say here the airing date. The pair was rehearsing the show in Hollywood yesterday, so I can't imagine it's going to air tonight if they were just rehearsing for the first time yesterday. I don't know when this special will air.
I bet Miley sticks her tongue out.
Oh, stop.
Yum, 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 yum.
It's not possible. Heads up, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon at the world-famous Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. We're going to have a good time, 10 p.m., Friday night. We always have a blast. We've been off for a little while. Kevin was back in at Sundance. They're honoring him for the 20th anniversary of Clerks. Can't believe it's 20 years since that movie came out. So we haven't been doing it for a while. But we will be back this Friday night at 10 p.m. Go to improv.com or babylonralph.com or csmod.com. There's a lot of .coms. You
just
can
let it go.
No, I won't. It's a good show. People like it. Not many tickets left, too, by the way. So act now. Operators now on duty. Tom Selleck, 69 today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Oprah Winfrey turned 60. Nicholas Turturro was one of the stars of NYPD Blue back in the day. Talented guy, 52 years old. Actor and director Ed Burns is 46. Heather Graham, the actress, is 44. Weren't they an item for a while, Lisa?
Yes, they dated.
You would know that.
Yep.
Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne is 39. Adam Lambert from American Idol is 32 years old today. But the reason we celebrate today, January the 29th, because it was the birthday, 61st birthday, of singer Charlie Wilson of the Gap Band. Oh, that's right. How often have you shaken your ass to that on the dance floor, Lisa May?
A lot.
Yes. See you out
makes
there.
Me,
see you out there with your white Zinfandel full of Splenda, just out there on the dance floor, just shaking that groove thing.
In those two tight pants.
Making all the boys crazy.
That makes me think of the Kevin Bean Party Machine. That was a very popular song we used to always play on the Party Machine. People used to love.
Rest in peace, Party Machine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Here I go, I just don't. It's my aeroplane. Tell me, baby, by the way I try to say. Your feelings are burning, I'm breaking the curve. All around the world, I can't stop. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Hold it, hold it.
What the exact date is, I'd love to go back and find out, but at some point in the 1980s, K-Rock became committed to playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers every single broadcast day in an uninterrupted string. And it continues, and that's why we're always so thrilled to be able to welcome anyone from the band on the show, particularly our friend Chad Smith, drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Chad. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Bean. How are you?
You listen to that and you go, damn, we've accomplished something, right? You got to feel good when you hear a montage like that.
Well, you know, it's like Chili Peppers on 45.
Exactly. That's a reference only us old guys got, but I enjoyed it, Chad. Hey, what are you doing on Sunday? Anything special?
No, I was going to read a book. you know, at home with the dog by the fireplace in my smoking jacket.
Well, I got bad news for you.
You do?
Yeah, you're going to be freezing your testicles off in East Rutherford, New Jersey, playing the halftime show along with your mates at the Super Bowl. And I'm very confused how this thing came about, Chad, and I have not seen this directly addressed. But, you know, when the news came out that Bruno Mars was playing the halftime show, we all thought, well, I can understand that. That's a pretty good choice. He's a popular guy, great entertainer. I'm sure it's going to be a good show. And then a month later, they came out and said, oh, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, too. And I just, for the life of me, can't understand how that happened or how that's going to work. Can you tell us anything about it without being shot dead by the NFL?
Well, as I sit here talking to you with the gun, the NFL gun to my head, I could tell you that we were just as surprised as you.
Okay.
You know, we know of the Bruno Mars, but we're not. We're not. You know, we don't have any.
You're not homies.
No, we're not homies. But this is what I know, that the NFL said to Bruno, you may have a special guest and choose whomever you like. And Bruno chose the Red Hot Chili Peppers because he's a big fan. And we hit, unbeknownst to us, and he called us and said, hey, would you guys be my guest at the halftime show? Come and play with, you know, do a jam. And we said, sure, why not? Sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun. Was there any part of you that didn't want to do it, thinking, oh, it's a long way to go for 4 minutes, it's just a big hassle, we don't need it, we're tired? I mean, or was it an instant yes, please?
Sometimes when you have sex, it's a long way to go for 4 minutes. Wait, there's something over there. Is that
Lisa.
That a woman's voice?
That's Lisa.
That's
Lisa.
Hi, how you doing?
You would chuckle at the sex record.
Yeah, of course I would.
There's nothing like the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the reach. Not that there's anybody who doesn't know who the Red Hot Chili Peppers are, but it's still going to be a thrill to get that kind of worldwide exposure all over again. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's the biggest thing in the world.
As far as television entertainment, I think so. For that 12 minutes, I don't know, 150 million people watch it or something like that. But if you go and have to pee and get your nachos and a new beverage, you may blink and miss us. Don't do that. Wait, hold it if you can, because we just kind of pop up, things blow up, and we play, and then we go back down and... Yeah.
Now, I am guessing that you are not at liberty to discuss what you will be playing, correct?
The gun, the trigger just came back. Sorry. It's funny, you guys. I was at some Grammy thing last week, and people were asking me, and I said facetiously, oh, we'll be doing the Led Zeppelin Dazed and Confused live version. Oh,
yes.
Really? Oh, well. And now all I do is get, you know, inundated with, wow, how are you going to pull that off, man? People in the media are so gullible sometimes. So,
well,
no,
look,
they had probably no idea what
you
were talking about.
Side one of 2112.
Oh, that's a new rumor to get going. I love it. So
there you go.
Red Hot Chili Peppers does Rush 2112. I love it. You understand? Look, we were talking about this earlier today, and this is the voice of Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers here on the Kevin DeBee and Sean Carrot. We were talking about this today. I almost can't blame the reporter that ran with it, because he felt like he was getting the information from a reliable source. He didn't know you were joking, right?
Come on, you know, anyone that has any knowledge of music knows.
Yes,
that was
what our question was.
One of the biggest bands to exist, it's a live version of one of their longest songs, would not be probably what's going to be. You know, we've been known to kind of make little jokes before, too, because obviously I can't really tell you what we're going to do. I can't ruin a surprise. Come on.
No,
watch.
I understand. Yeah, there's no question.
It'll be fun. You know, the Bruno Mars, they're great. We met them as band. They're great people. Today I'm going to rehearse with them outside in the beautiful weather here and going to New Jersey. And it'll be a real spectacle and fun, and it's part of the event. And, you know, it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it.
I am, too. It's going to be great. And let's mention what you're doing for Make-A-Wish, because I think this is cool. You're playing a very special drum kit on Sunday, right, Chad?
I am. The wonderful people at Pearl that make my drums have made me a custom giant drum set, because if it's a Super Bowl, you got to go big, right?
Right.
And it lights up and changes colors and has all the NFL team logos on it. And it's a kind of a smoky, clear drum set made out of acrylic. And through the NFL and through Make-A-Wish Foundation, we're going to auction it off to the highest bidder, and of course the money will go to that great charity. So I'm happy to do that, and I think hopefully somebody, some crazy, crazed football fan will want that drum set or drummer, and that'll go to Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a one-of-a-kind thing. I mean, it's a great piece of rock and roll memorabilia. It's a great piece of television memorabilia because of how it'll be seen in the Super Bowl. And it's a great piece of, you know, of NFL memorabilia, too. There's an NFC kit and an AFC kit. And you can go to NFL.com/auction. That's where you want to bid on Chad's drum set and drumsticks. Yeah, the whole thing, you know, everybody who's ever been interviewed, you know, Bruce Springsteen or The Who or Tom Petty, U2, anyone who's ever done this halftime show, even though they're all used to doing huge venues, and you've played for, you know, 200,000 people at a time, Chad, but they say that it is such a rush that you get in there and it's just a blur and you walk off stage and you're like, what happened? I mean, it's just going to be one of those things that you're going to look back on, and you have so many great memories with the Peppers over the years, but this is just going to be one of those red letter days you'll probably never forget.
You're probably right. I really hope so. I mean, it will be. It's surreal to go play outdoors in a football game, and you know, obviously it's not just any football game, but you know, we played some wacky gigs before. I have to, you know, we played some far out places, but this will be really something, and we're very excited, and we're just happy to be part of it, and we're just gonna rock out so hard. The adrenaline will just be over, you know, we're gonna be like flying, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, let me ask you one final question, Chad, and this just occurred to me. Because of the weather, and I guess they've upped the forecast a little bit, now it's probably going to be in the upper 30s by the time you get on, mid-30s, maybe.
Balmy.
You guys are not, especially Flea and Anthony, not famous for wearing parkas. What are you going to wear? Are you going to wear something that's stage-appropriate or something that's weather-appropriate that day, do you think?
Well, that's, you know, that we haven't really discussed our stage costume. So that's something we'll have to, because again of the weather. Yeah, you can't really like go out in your underwear when it's like, you know, 10 below. But yeah, this would be like doable. So I don't really know. We'll
something to think about. Maybe you'll get some ideas after the rehearsal today. You'll go, "Oh wow, it is cold as balls out here."
The NFL is there, you know, with their whole, you know, we can't expose anything, and there's, you know, they're all, you know, they're really tight with all that stuff. So I'm sure they probably will be keeping the socks away from us and all that kind of stuff. But,
or at least make them wool.
Right. We'll figure something out. You know, we're entertainers. We're from Hollywood, man. That's what we do.
That's right, man. All right, Chad, we love you. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed it. Have fun Sunday.
Oh, thanks, you guys. All right.
Thank you, Fitz. Actor Greg Kinnear joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his new show called Rake on the Fox Network tomorrow night. Right now, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Once again, I apologize for the theme song. Hey, producer David King of Mexico. How are you, buddy?
What up?
Exactly. Dave puts a lot of work into putting the roundup together so that you don't have to go all over the damned internet looking for all the best viral videos. They're all in one handy location for you. This Vin Diesel thing was the big surprise of the week for me. How about for you, Dave?
I'm amazed he posted that and said, yeah, I'm going to leave that up.
He doesn't seem like a wacky guy. But Vin Diesel, and it looks like it's in his house or apartment or someplace that he's staying anyway, he sets up a camera and he starts dancing and lip syncing to Beyonce's Drunken Love, to Katy Perry's Dark Horse. And in the middle, he explains why he's so happy today and why he's uploading this video.
Just I'm excited, I'm happy, and I'm calling you guys or shouting out to you guys to say thank you. Universal just called me and told me that Riddick is number one on the DVD charts.
Shame on you, America, first of all, for making that happen.
How is that possible?
How about Vin Diesel knowing all the words to Beyonce and Katy Perry songs and singing and dancing along? It's the weirdest thing, but you should definitely check it out in the internet.
It's so great.
Somebody's having some fun with Lorde. Their joke is she performed on the Grammys the other night, her song Royals, that ended up winning her a couple of awards. Here's what it actually sounded like before it was auto-tuned for the TV broadcast.
You'll never be chicken in my blood. It's all a drop some faith from dust. It's a different kind of buzz to me. Be your ruler.
That's just mean.
That's how she sounded when she was here, too. You know.
You got questions. You don't really follow football, Lisa, and you want to be up to speed before the Super Bowl this weekend? Well, here's a guide to American football for you.
After the player introductions, the anthems, the flyovers, the coaches' handshakes, and the coin toss, the two teams line up for the kickoff. And once the ball has been returned, each team's 11 offensive players take to the field against their 11 defensive adversaries.
Okay.
It's pretty good primer, and it's well animated, too. Now, what do you think's going on with this Bill Burr? This Bill Burr video of him at the Pro Bowl, is he actually in the stadium in Hawaii? Dave?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's there.
Why is it so fuzzy? Why does it look like 1980s VHS tape if it's really happening?
He did it on his crappy phone that, you know, it's not a good smartphone. So.
It's crazy how bad the video looks, but Bill doing play-by-play, of course, he's one of our favorite comedians. It's very, very funny.
All they got to do is get it down to there. They go for the two-point conversion. I'm the only person in the stadium that still gives a f***. Let's go, Jerry!
Got a couple more NFL videos for you. This Super Bowl edition of the Kevin Amin Internet Roundup. Richard Sherman, who is the most talked about player outside of Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl this weekend. He, of course, is the cornerback for Seattle. He's the guy who gave that great post-game interview after the NFC game against San Francisco. Well, there's a remix. Is it DJ Steve Porter? Is that who does this?
Steve Porter, yeah.
He does a great job of some of Richard Sherman's best work.
I'd like to say something to the a-hole fans that drive on Twitter and Instagram.
So well done. I need that as a ringtone. Bad Lip Reading is back. They have done a series of great videos with sports, including other NFL ones. This is yet one more. It looks so much like the people on the field are really saying these things, but of course they're just crazy things that they're not really saying.
Hey, look! I can spin around!
Don't hoard cat food. Star Wars Typhoon. You could joke all night, but no kung fu. No more cartoons, no more kung fu. No kung fu. They crushed his cape. They crushed his fuzzy cape.
It looks so real. It's shocking. Game of Thrones right around the corner, season 4. Here's a literal Game of Thrones season 4 trailer where they tell you exactly. Boy, they can make any show sound dumb, can't they?
Fade Skyrim in true passing dragon shadow.
Baby Burger King can eat cause he's too stressed.
Dear Amadeus,
not too cold, manless horse, see a topless even more.
Dude, I found a horse, it's like two scenes back. He has half the hands but talks twice as smack.
That's going to really whet your appetite for the new season if you're a GOT fan. Songify the News, is that our friends the Gregory Brothers?
It is,
who does
yes.
This? They are back with a new one all about marijuana. America has gone to pot. They had some fun with Bill O'Reilly.
Young people want to get high. Young people want to get blasted. Young people combine the drugs with the internet. And virtually all young people text. This is an epidemic. Drug and tech abuse. Is America going to pot? Is America going to pot?
Everything is better once it gets songified.
Yeah.
Wouldn't expect to see Noel Gallagher in the Kevin Amin Internet Roundup in 2014, but somebody has done a very clever thing, and they have taken his commentary tracks that he did on the Oasis DVD from a couple of years ago, where he went through and watched all of the music videos that Oasis did and then made commentary, and really hates most of the videos that he made, it turned out. And the beautiful thing about Noel is he holds nothing back. His comments are very funny.
This bit where they were going to, he was saying, we should bury the drum kit. And I was saying, why don't we bury the drummer? And he was like, yeah, we'll the drummer. I was like, wow. Is that how easy this is? He just f***ing randomly suggests nonsense and people just go and film it.
It is very funny. You're going to want to watch that whole thing. Noel just hates everything they've ever done, which is, I guess, looking back on some of the stuff from the 90s, it does look pretty dumb now in 2014. Everybody has by now seen, if they haven't seen the movie Her in theaters, the Spike Jonze film that's winning all the awards. They've certainly seen the commercial. You know what it's about. This is the one where Scarlett Johansson is the operating system that Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with. Mm-hmm. Well, Saturday Night Live did a great parody of that. They made a trailer for a movie starring Jonah Hill that was called Me, where he pretty much falls in love with himself.
I wish I was in that room with you.
I wish I could touch you.
How would you touch me?
Come on, I can't.
Don't be shy, just say it.
Well, I guess I'd start by giving little butterfly kisses to your t-
I don't want to give it away, but there's a very special surprise guest who shows up at the end of that video. You definitely want to check it out. And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel continues to bring it every single week. He bleeps stuff that isn't dirty words on TV and makes everything sound filthy. It's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This time it was Mayor Ford getting in an elevator.
I saw Brad Pitt fist Daniel Day-Lewis.
I hear you have a hard time swallowing.
It's impossible. I absolutely can't swallow.
Look out, face. It's time to shove some in your mouth.
Wow. You can see all of these videos and so much more at KevinAndBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Boy, it's been a long time since we've had Greg Kinnear on the program. Oscar and Emmy-nominated Greg Kinnear, who is back with a new show on Fox called Rake. Greg, do you even remember the Kevin and Bean show, or am I going too far back for you, sir?
No. Remember it well. Still a fan and supporter of the Kevin and Bean Industries.
We appreciate that. It's great to have you back on the program. How have you been?
I'm good, man. I'm really good. Yeah, I remember. I always think when I think of you guys, I think God knows how many years ago, doing Talk Soup, and you guys had my assistant on Talk Soup or something worked for you guys, and then sort of surreptitiously gave you my home phone number and you crank called me at like 6 a.m. one time, which was not cool.
That does sound like something we might have done back in our youthful, foolish days. And can I apologize now and will you accept, please?
I'm still a little sore about it, quite frankly. I'm not sure, you know, they say time heals, but it's going to take a few more years.
Greg, congratulations on the show. Rake debuted last week. A new episode is going to be tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on Fox. Now, I have heard, and I'm not very plugged into Hollywood industry talk, but I have heard that there were lots of shows and lots of networks and lots of producers that wanted to be in the Greg Kinnear business. It sounds like you kind of had your pick of the litter and chose this one, right?
Well, I don't know. Obviously, my publicity team has done a fantastic job flagging that firestorm. I don't know how true that is, but you know, listen, I've considered a lot of, you know, different opportunities over the years and in television, and you know, I think this show really had an advantage in the sense that I saw the Australian show. This is a pre-existing format. Mm-hmm. And had been going on for a couple of years down there, and it just had kind of a great mix of drama and comedy, and it didn't feel like it was. It's a strange alchemy in the show. Very strong cast, and the idea of kind of removing that show and dropping it into Los Angeles just felt like to me it had a possibility to be something fresh. And had a meeting with the Australian show creator, a guy named Peter Duncan, and we kind of hit it off. And so all this started about a year and a half ago, and that's where we find the show today.
Well, one of the things that I liked about the pilot, and of course, if you missed it, you can go to Fox and watch it online. But one of the things that I liked was they set up – a lot of times you'll tune into a pilot and you go, well, what are they going to do next week? Your show set so many different kinds of things in motion, like the relationship with your ex-wife and like the people that you're living with, your friends, and like the relationship with the assistant and, you know, the gambling addiction and all the other things. I mean, there are so many different plot lines that are already laid down. You can – plus a new case every week. It seems like this is the type of show that you're not going to run out of content for.
No, we have no shortage of threads in the show, and it's one of the cool things about it. I mean, the guy, Rake is. I know it. I've gotten a lot of grief from my friends. Well, why are you in a show about a gardening tool? But the truth is that the kind of Australian sort of folklore term of rake is kind of a womanizer and a ne'er-do-well and a guy who just can't control his own habits and his own appetites. And, you know, something about that in Los Angeles, particularly with a defense attorney, a guy who couldn't stay out of his own way, just rung true to me. And I had never played an attorney before, so Rake sort of afforded the opportunity to play a guy like that who was setting off, you know, these little personal time bombs, because the case, there's kind of a loose case every week, but it's not really, it's certainly not a procedural. It's not
absolutely not.
FBI or anything like that. We don't really spend, in fact, there's cases where I'm kind of just bored. But but it's all it's kind of the surrounding chaos of a guy who as you say, has some gambling issues and some drug and alcohol issues.
The other thing that I thought was neat about, and this is the voice of Greg Kinnear here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Rake, new show on Fox. It airs again tomorrow night at 9. The other thing that I thought was interesting is when I first saw the first trailer, I thought, well, here's House as an attorney. Here's a guy who's got Asperger's or got some, you know, like Sherlock Holmes, he's got some sort of social problems or something, and he's trying to navigate. That's not the truth. The guy's just a dick, right?
I guess that show was also on Fox and followed American Idol, so I guess those comparisons. And he had some personal issues, so I guess the comparisons were unavoidable for people to push that go-to button in terms of comparing the two. But I think they're very different, and I think that I think the guy is unreputable and there's something about a dick who doesn't really care what you think about him. You know,
yes.
I like, it was kind of unforgiving. I found him to be, the absolute lack of need for your approval in the role was something, you know, I thought was really cool. It's not like we do it with a little bit of wink and a smile. I mean, he's out primarily for himself, first and foremost, and you can call him a dick, but I don't know that doesn't demonstrate a more common denominator of the people that you might find in that industry than not.
You're absolutely right about that.
I mean, we could turn him into a lawyer with a defense attorney with a heart of gold, but I'm not sure that really rings true to me. So,
no, people would accuse you of being unrealistic. Yeah, it would be a sci-fi show if it was a lawyer with a heart of gold, right, Greg?
I'm not sure what it's made of, but it ain't gold.
Give me 30 seconds. I want to play a clip from last week's show. This is Greg's character, Keegan Dean, who is talking to, I guess, his therapist. Your ex-wife is your therapist. That's what's going on in that office, right, Greg?
My ex-wife is who I have a complicated relationship with, and we do have a son together. She's not my therapist, no, but she's
your sounding board.
She's a good sounding board and offers sage advice.
Okay, so here's your character. I want the listeners to hear this. This is a perfect representation of this character that Greg plays on the show on Fox. He's talking about this new case that he's getting involved in that might end up eventually making him famous and very wealthy if it goes his way.
Well, you know, Alan Dershowitz was about my age now when he defended Klaus von Bülow. Case was a game changer for him.
Do you see yourself as a young Dershowitz?
Yeah, I mean, this Strand case is exciting. I mean, it could be a good thing for me. I'm doing Greta Van Susteren.
You're doing Greta Van Susteren?
Well, I'm not doing her. I mean, I'm doing the show.
You're excited about this?
Well, it's going to be a lot of exposure. It could be good.
What about your client?
Who?
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. That's the kind of attorney you could get. Rake on Fox Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. Greg, let's not make it so long next time. Thanks for coming on today.
I agree. Good to talk to you, man. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. There are lots of reasons for you to go to kevinandbean.com, including the Internet Roundup we gave you a few minutes ago. Find out why Miss Double December is in trouble at her day job. You can see our interview with Vampire Weekend in studio from Monday, discussing winning the Grammy over the weekend, and Beer Mug's interviews at the Grammy Roundtable. And Beer Mug has never looked fatter than he does in this video. Mugs, what's going on with you, dude?
Dude, I've let myself go, like, ultimately.
You have more than let yourself go. You have, like, shoved yourself into the...
And I didn't realize
the food trough every day.
I didn't realize it until watching that video.
That was your wake-up call, was that video?
Yep.
Oh, my God, who's that? How is Chris Farley still alive?
Yeah. Define wake-up call. Doesn't a wake-up call usually mean that once you do something, then you end up doing something about that situation?
Ralph, I rode my bike 4 miles on Monday.
Stop it. On Monday. What's today, Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
What did you do yesterday?
Well, I was busy yesterday.
What have you eaten the past 3 days, besides everything?
I did have Carl's Jr. yesterday.
Stop it. See? Wake up call, my ass. You hit the snooze button. That's all.
Yeah.
You woke up and then you hit the snooze bar and you went right back.
Quite a commitment, Muggs. Quite a commitment. All right. Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It is Lordgate 2014.
What's that?
Uh-oh. Lordgate. I don't like the sound of that.
Lordgate.
No, what's going on with our girl Lord? We love her.
Oh, Lord, sure. Oh, I can't believe she's only 16. What a talent. Oh, what a voice. Oh, I can't believe she's only 17. She just turned 17. Oh, so impressive. Ha! Ha!
I don't like where you're going with this, Ralph.
Say many conspiracy theorists. 17, my Aunt Fanny, they say.
What? She's that's not?
You tell, right. If you tell me she's like 35 and this whole thing is a hoax on the public, I'm going to be heartbroken.
Remember that writer-actress Riley Weston? She was on Felicity and she claimed to be 18 years old. And everybody said, oh my God, she's a wunderkind. She's an amazing writer and she's so deep and she's so... what, an old soul, and she was actually 32. She lied about her age.
Yeah,
well, Lord, who? I'm 17. Aren't I amazing at 17? Ha!
Liars.
Ha!
Tell us, Ralph.
No one, there's a whole group of people who did not believe it.
Wasn't she discovered in school?
She did an interview, Lisa, in a magazine saying, the movie The Virgin Suicides really resonated with me as a teenager. I mean, I'm still a teenager, she said in that interview. Ha!
How old is she?
Well, a website called thehairpin.com doled out the whopping $17.02 to the New Zealand Department of Internal Affairs for a copy of Ella Maria Lonnie Yelich O'Connor's birth certificate. And she's 17 years old.
Yay!
So where was all the... where was all the naysayers getting their ammunition from then? Just that one quote? Just said, that one screw up in the interview?
She mistakenly said something once.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So
that's awesome.
Some people will never believe
that. That conspiracy has been put to rest. That Lord is, in fact, was born on November the 7th, 1996, which makes her 17 years old.
Thank God.
And she is... what she appears to be, which is a 17-year-old with an old soul and a lot of talent.
Yes.
and weird things hanging on her fingers at the Grammys. So
but Bush still brought down the towers, though, right?
Yeah, that still happened.
Okay.
And Obama was still born in Kenya. Let's not get that mistaken. Right. Speaking of producing birth certificates, I compel you, Mr. President.
Good point. Good point.
Hey, Rush. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. My friends, is this Lord really what she appears to be? 17 years old. I have OxyContin tablets older than that. So, everyone relax now. She's 17. All right.
You had me revved up, Ralph. I really was expecting this was going to be... You're just going to blow us away when she's 35. I really was.
People are dumb. Speaking of the Grammys, Pharrell's shotgun Tom Kelly hat that he was wearing at the awards, the Dudley Do-Right hat, the Smokey the Bear hat, that I and everyone rightly mocked, is apparently now flying off the shelves.
Wow.
Can't get them anymore.
Because it looks so good.
It's a great-looking hat. It was identified...
And you can wear it anywhere.
As an item from designer Vivian Westwood's 1982 collection. So you can only get it through her. And the website that was selling it for her, World's End Shop, crashed due to high traffic. So now she will only offer it out of her boutique in West Hollywood. A limited edition run of the hat will be sold beginning mid-February. So get yourself down there to the Vivian Westwood boutique in West Hollywood and pick yourself up the Buffalo hat. For the low, low price of $180. I can look like an asshole for a lot less. That's all I'm saying.
You do every day.
What?
Look,
what?
With the exception of being Pharrell at the Grammys as your Halloween costume, there's really no other way to wear that hat and have it make sense or look good or be appropriate, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
You're just a goofball.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Apparently, a lot of people are. Yeah. It's nuts. We were talking yesterday about Miley Cyrus's upcoming Unplugged special on MTV. It is airing tonight. Bean was correct on MTV. If you want to find out, Madonna will be her guest performer. I have tweeted a photo of the two of them working together, and it will make you throw up inside your mouth a little bit. You can follow me at Ralph Garman on Twitter, and you can see that picture.
I'm like sticking out my tongue a lot and stuff like that, and like dancing with teddy bears and stuff like that, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Kanye West beat off. Excuse me. Kanye West paid off the guy he beat up.
Hold the mayo.
At that Beverly Hills chiropractor's office this week. the 18-year-old who was dropping the N-bomb left and right and saying all kinds of heinous things about everyone, settled with Kanye as opposed to pressing charges with the Los Angeles DA office. Kanye, according to TMZ, cut him a check for $250,000.
I don't know who to dislike in this story.
No, there's no winners, Lisa.
Yeah.
Everyone is just foul, foul, foul. The young man shouted racial slurs at Kim and at Kanye and at the photographers. And Kanye, and then Kim called Kanye to come down and beat him up. And
oh,
then
for God's sake.
Kanye did beat him up. And everybody's just a big loser in this story.
That $250,000 is about what your fine was going to be if you'd gotten 1 second further into that story initially, right?
Just saying. I wonder how much you would charge for that. I might have get something else.
If you remember the story, the guy who got punched in the face, he said that Kim was an N-word lover.
Right.
Look, you can understand why somebody wants to hit that guy in the face.
Sure. Absolutely.
I understand why you want to hit somebody in the face.
Why you want to, but you just can't do it.
That's the law. That's the world we live in. That's
no one can do it.
No
and
one
in
can
particular,
do it.
You can't do it if you're Kanye West.
Right. He's a bad person. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you can't beat somebody up just because you're upset with them.
Because they say something that's offensive.
Yes. Fortunately, it's not the way it works. And you know what you can do but shouldn't do? Is call your boyfriend to come over and beat someone up after you've offended them.
Diagram this for me. So he's saying these things to Kim.
Here's the thing, Lee. Let me tell the whole story for you, okay? He's at the doorway.
Yep.
She's trying to get into the medical building.
Okay.
Paparazzi are hindering her passage and making life generally difficult for her. So the 18-year-old opens the door for her and helps usher her inside and calls the paparazzis F-slurs for gay and N-words.
Okay.
Okay? He's angry at them for bothering Kim.
Okay.
Then Kim says to him, shut your mouth, don't use the N-word.
Okay.
And then he says to her, I was trying to help you, bitch. You're a blank, blank, blank. And then she calls Kanye.
And then they both just wait for Kanye to show up.
Kanye. And
no,
so,
don't leave. Don't
leave.
She's
like filing her nails and he's tapping his fingers.
Oh, you're an N-word lover. And then he calls Kanye the N-word on the phone. And then Kim sees him go into this chiropractic office.
I see.
So Kim waits for Kanye to show up. Kanye shows up and she says he's in there.
Oh, for God's
sake. So Kanye bursts into the office. And the guy curls up in the fetal position and Kanye proceeds to wail on him. Until the massage therapist there who works at the facility was able to separate the two and police were called. So that's how the story shook down. Yeah. But just everyone on every level is wrong there. So
yeah, there's no one. Lisa's right. There's no one to root for here.
But that 18-year-old douchebag is $250,000 richer.
Yeah.
Just for getting beat up a little bit. Not a bad day's work. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Lambert's 32 years old today. Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne is 39. Heather Graham, 44. Roller Girl. Always remember that from Boogie Nights. Very impressive. Ed Burns is 46. Nicholas Turturro, the actor, is 52. Oprah Winfrey is 60. Tom Selleck, of course, Magnum P.I. for many of us, but now the star of Blue Bloods over there on NBC. He is 69 years old.
Officially the best mustache in history, right?
Truly.
Right.
It's a classic.
Officially.
It's a legend. It has its...
It's the standard.
It has its own Twitter profile. It's got its own website.
I think Ron Burgundy's might be second, but Selleck, I think, still is the champ.
Selleck crushes. It's just so thick and luxurious and wavy and just lustrous. He's 69 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Grammy-winning Lord here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Wednesday. If you want to see the Ace Man in person, Adam Carolla is doing a live podcast at the Irvine Improv coming up on Thursday, February 13th at 8 with special guest Greg Fitzsimmons. Tickets are available now for just $25 at improv.com. And, of course, the Big Mangria live podcast party show at the Treasure Island Theater in Las Vegas is also on sale for Friday, February 21st with special guest Joe Coy, a very funny comedian. Mangria available from every bar in the casino and a special meet and greet with Adam. You can get tickets at treasureisland.com. They start at just $35 and it's an excuse for you to go to Vegas. Why do I tell you all this? Because Adam's on the phone for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, morning, Ace Man.
Starting. Hey, Beanie Boy.
What's going on, dude?
Tammy, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Starting with number three and then working my way up to my Super Bowl pick. And the reason that's so important to so many listeners is they know that once I lock off my Super Bowl pick, they got to run out and bet the opposite so they can really clean up this year.
All right. You've never been right, if I recall correctly.
I've never been right, which means if you do the anti-math or the backwards math, you will always be right. All right, number three, something I stumbled onto, and I'm proud to say it's joined many of my other offerings in the Urban Dictionary, such gems as Behymen and Spunk Shui. Thank you. That'll be my legacy. I stumbled onto something because I was talking to Allison Rose on my podcast, and she was saying, yeah, I got this pumpkin pie over Christmas, and it tasted weird. It tasted like it had ginger in it or something. And I said, well, where'd you get it? And she said, well, I got it at Whole Foods. And I said, oh, you went to one of the highfalutin stores. And when you go to the highfalutin stores like Whole Foods or something like that, then you get the highfalutin crap. You don't get regular pumpkin pie. You don't get regular oatmeal cookies that have bits of cranberry in it. And pizza, the frozen pizza has goat cheese on it. It's too highfalutin. And then I thought, wait a minute. We need falutin-free stores.
Falutin-free?
Yeah, I mean, we have gluten-free. What about falutin-free?
All right, so no stuff is too fancy.
So no gluten-free in the falutin-free?
I'm just saying we can get a piece of pizza without goat cheese on it. Or, you know, you can get a turkey sandwich without a sprig of mint on the top of it. You can get iced tea instead of passion fruit icy. Just a falutin-free store. I think they're called the Mexican markets out here. But either way, I like falutin-free. I'd like to go on flights that were falutin-free. I'd like to go into stores that were falutin-free and bars that were falutin-free.
So what you're saying is something for the old school people who don't like the way that we've managed in America to screw up even the most basic delicacies by making them fancier than they have any right to be.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it better. You do the best pumpkin pie you can do, but don't add, like my sister did, a ribbon of plum in the middle of your pumpkin pie.
Sounds terrible.
That would never cut it in the gluten-free store. We can start
I'm in.
The
Build one by my
aisle.
House, please.
Yes. All right. Something I noticed the other day, and I'd been watching these commercials for a long time, but it never dawned on me. See a lot of storage unit commercials. I don't know why. Maybe it's an L.A. thing. People live in apartments. There's not enough room. They got a lot of junk. There's a lot of storage. A lot of these storage unit commercials, and they always have the thing where the roller door slides up and the family's standing there. They're always delighted, by the way, and I've never really thought about it, but I thought, wait a minute, everyone is miserable at these places. The people that work there are miserable. They're located under freeway overpasses, and everyone is there because they're miserable, because they have a crappy little apartment, and, you know, some medical equipment that they can't throw away because grandpa died and they got to store it away somewhere. These commercials, there should be a class action lawsuit. The one I saw last night, the door flung open. The mother and daughter were standing there. The mother pulled out her old wedding dress and presented it to her daughter. Her daughter was delighted. The FCC should shut these people down.
Well, the truth is, with the exception of Walter White visiting his cache in the storage facility on Breaking Bad, no one else has ever been happy about having to go to a storage facility. You're absolutely right.
Good-looking young couples that are ushering in water skiing season. Woo! You've never seen it. Just
nope.
Miserable old people staring at relics of their past. I want to know if in storage unit history, has there ever been a mother presenting her 35-year-old wedding dress, covered in God knows what kind of semen, presenting it to her daughter's delight in front of a storage unit?
I'm going to say I think they took some liberties for that particular commercial, Adam.
Could you imagine saying to your 22-year-old daughter, we're going out dress shopping. Oh, great. Where are we going? Beverly Hills? No, we're going to Van Nuys to the storage place. She would beat you to death with any sharp item in that storage unit. All right. And number one, my Super Bowl pick. And if you don't think that this is a science, I've told you before, a couple years ago, I got a call from Kimmel He said, who are you betting on in the Super Bowl? Who do you like? I said, I've sworn off betting, Jimmy. I lose every year, and I can't lose any more money. I got a family now. He said, that's unacceptable. I need you to bet. I said, I can't. I lose. I'm not going to bet anymore. He said, you don't understand. We have to bet according to your bet and do the opposite.
No.
And then on the third line, a bookie came on. And he said, who do you like? And I said, well, all right, it's the Pats and the Giants. Give me the Pats. And then Jimmy said, all right, everyone knows what to do now. Thank you. He hung up. I lost $1,000 and everyone else was a winner. So
it's not enough that you just call it. You actually have to put money down on it for the Corolla curse to kick in.
Yes, that locks in that will locks the pox that I have when it comes to gambling.
All right, well, I am very excited, and of course I'm also very, very nervous because I got a dog in this fight. What do you got for me, Adam?
I got Denver winning 31-27.
Yes! I'm so happy right now.
Start chilling the champagne.
All right. Sounds great. Live podcast at the Irvine Improv with special guest Greg Fitzsimmons is February 13th and then in Las Vegas for the Treasure Island show on the 21st. Please go to adamcarolla.com for all the information plus the podcast and information on Adam's new show, Catch a Contractor. Thanks, Ace Man. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Great.
Now, a moment with Bean.
Beer mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully,
Oh, my God! Oh, yes!
Wow.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Broadcast professional. Look it up in the book. Hey, party people. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. Ralph, I know you would not be here unless you had urgent late-breaking news. What's going on?
Nothing urgent or late-breaking.
Oh, okay.
Just some stuff.
All right, time for the showbiz beat.
TMZ says Justin Bieber's moving out of the ritzy Calabasas, California neighborhood.
Can he leave the whole state, or is he just leaving that that particular neighborhood?
No word how lucky we're going to get, but the people there in Calabasas seem to believe he's ready to put his house up for sale. Apparently, this whole egging fiasco has just torn it for Justin. That's just too much.
Poor Justin.
That someone would force him to throw eggs at that guy's house. Plus, he's had trouble with other folks in the Oaks community, which is the name of the gated community he lives in. Keyshawn Johnson, the football player, had several run-ins with Justin over his late-night drag racing through the neighborhood. Keyshawn just sold his house to Kourtney Kardashian. Word is she does not care if her children are at risk. And they say Justin now has had enough with the problems and the headaches. He's going to move someplace that will be more accommodating to his rock and roll lifestyle.
Skinny little bitch.
But he created all of the problems in his neighborhood.
Right. So if so he leaves the neighborhood, then that...
The problems go with him.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Yeah.
He thinks it's the problem is the neighborhood. It's too suburban, man. It's not swaggy enough.
That's what it is. It's not swaggy enough.
So he's got to find a swaggier neighborhood.
Once again, though, the believers will tell you it's just the media who are having a field day reporting on true actual events that happened that are Justin's fault.
Trying to tear him down, man. Prince has listened to Bean, as he always does. This morning earlier, I did the story about Prince and his lawsuit against 22 different Facebook users and bloggers who he claims were sending links to unauthorized websites that had a lot of footage of his concerts, bootleg concert footage of Prince shows, suing 22 of them to the tune of $1 million each for a total of $22 million. This morning, news comes that Prince apparently has dropped that lawsuit.
Oh, interesting.
Bean said this morning, you'll never collect the money. Why are you doing that? That's stupid. And Prince said, yes, you might be right.
Well, look, I'm not saying that he's not technically correct, that it's his property, that he owns the rights to distribute it and others don't. I'm just saying you can't beat the internet from sharing information like that, and you're not going to get any money out of it. So all you're really doing is suing your own fans, people who like you and your music, and that's going to be a turnoff to other fans.
Yes, I guess you're right.
Thank you, Prince.
Here's another item in the win column for being a celebrity. You know, there's pros and cons to everything, including being a superstar. This is in the pro column. Jonah Hill has a new girlfriend, star of Wolf of Wall Street, of course, and the soon-to-be-seen 22 Jump Street, has a new girlfriend, model Isabel McNally. do yourself a favor and look up Isabel McNally when you get a chance. And then
she's ugly.
Would Jonah Hill in a million years, if he wasn't a movie star, ever be dating this girl? And the answer will come back to you, no.
Now, I agree with you. I'm not arguing. But I will say that Jonah, a lot of girls love because he seems like such a super nice dude, and he's really, really funny. So I think some people are willing to look past, hey, that guy's heavy or not classically good-looking, because he's got a great personality and makes you laugh.
And where have those women been exposed to how funny and charming Jonah Hill is, Bean?
In the movies.
Oh, that's right, Lisa, in the multi-million dollar movies that he makes. Maybe that has something to do with the appeal. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe if he was a funny, charming guy doling out horsey sauce at Arby's, maybe the girls would not necessarily be clamoring for his attentions. It's just my speculation.
How much, Lisa, this might be a curious topic for us on the Kevin DeBean Show one day. How much of a difference does it make to a woman what their man does for a living?
Well, I think you have to respect what they do. Generally, you want to feel like you're with someone who's smart.
Like, you date an attorney, but if you had the exact same guy with the exact same personality, yet he was a fast food, you know, employee or something like that, would it have worked out? Would you have gone out with him in the first place, even though it's the exact same person?
I probably wouldn't date a fast food employee because, you know, he gets like 2 weeks of vacation a year. We could never do anything, and he would smell like French fries.
Okay.
Could be a plus for some ladies.
And I don't make enough to support us both, and he's making minimum wage. Yeah.
I don't know what things are like up there on the island, but here in the real world, chicks don't dig poor guys for the most part.
If really, poor, I'd date him.
If you were poor,
sure.
Now that's interesting.
I think you do your level.
If you were homeless, there'd be a lot of guys that you would be
awesome.
Open to, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, there you go.
So, what were you saying, Ralph? You just think that was just a stupid question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It would. I think it belies your lack of knowledge of the female species.
Well, I haven't been dating for a while.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's
more of but I'm just saying it's kind of an accepted fact that men who have jobs with prestige and high incomes are more attractive catches than those without.
But I was just wondering, and again, not to belabor the point here, if a woman meets a guy, she meets a guy who's funny and she's attracted to him and whatnot, she. Is it a deal breaker if he's not on an upward slope?
Well, I really
job-wise,
do think
career-wise,
it depends on what we're talking about job-wise, career-wise, too. I mean, if he's, you know, middle management somewhere and he's probably not going to go much further, but he's awesome, that's probably fine. But you went to fast food. You went to minimum wage. That's a little different.
All right. Got it. Noted. Deal breaker.
It's not a deal breaker. It's just I think it's plus or minuses. If a guy is funny and charming, but he is working at the Jiffy Lube and with no real movement or potential to move up the chain, a woman is going to factor that in like she would factor the same exact guy who is a partner at a law firm.
Right.
I think one helps and one hurts.
And also, if you're thinking about we want to have a family, then you want to think about what's it going to take to support a family,
right.
Especially in this place.
Right.
That's a lot of stuff that factors in besides being funny and charming and wonderful.
Yes. Well, Bean's been just
for everybody.
Bean's been riding on his funny, charming, wonderful personality for so long now. He can't imagine anyone else not getting that.
See, thank you, Ralph.
Yes,
you bring it into sharp focus. I appreciate that.
All the ladies.
What's up, Holmes?
Girl, when are you gonna let me tap that ass?
That was opening line when I met my wife, if I recall.
Yeah. I'm just saying it doesn't hurt Jonah Hill with the models. That
right.
He is a movie star, regardless of his.
He's not scoring models if he's not a movie star, period.
Thank you,
he's
Lisa
just not.
May, the voice of reason.
All right. I guess I know nothing about nothing.
Well, not nothing.
You know about the post office.
That's right. Exactly. You know about the Edmund Fitzgerald. There are certain areas that you have expertise in. Speaking of Jonah Hill, his brother was also in the news. Brother was a big-time music star manager. Manages bands like Maroon 5, manages Robin Thicke.
Wow.
And until Monday, managed Sara Bareilles. Then the Grammys happened, and he was at a pre-Grammy party on Saturday night. with his client, Sarah. They were at Clive Davis's big annual pre-Grammy bash. And he got into a heated argument with Kelly Osbourne, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Kelly's mom, Sharon, who was also at the party, didn't like Jordan's tone, apparently. So she sat him down. She reasoned with him. She explained why she thought maybe perhaps he was being out of line. Oh, no, wait a minute. She dumped a plate of food on his lap and a glass of water over his head. Now, Sarah was up for major awards at the Grammys on Sunday. However, Jordan was apparently still upset about what had happened the previous night, so he didn't show up to the awards. Then on Monday, whether it was related or not, I don't know, Sarah fired him as her manager. So he's down one client. Mm-hmm. But he's still got Maroon 5.
Yeah, he's got that.
And you know, around here, we always like to give love to Maroon 5.
Yes.
You know that. Yeah, Mug's not even registering that. Not even buying
I don't have that.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
See? We give love to Maroon 5. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Lambert is 32 years old. Actress Sarah Gilbert turns 39. Heather Graham's 44 years old. Ed Burns, the actor and director and former boyfriend of Heather Graham, by the way, 46 years old. Nicholas Turturro of the acting Turturro family is 52. Oprah Winfrey's 60. Tom Selleck and his mustache are 69. And I mean that literally. He was born with a mustache. A lot of people don't know that, but he's a one-in-a-million kid. He came out just rocking that stash. He is 69, and 69, by the way. He looks pretty damn good.
He looks great. He looks great.
He really does.
Ridiculous. And singer Charlie Wilson. You may not know the name, but you know the band. He was and is the lead singer for The Gap Band.
You dropped a bomb on me, baby. You dropped a bomb on me. But you turned me on. You dropped a bomb on me.
Good stuff.
Baby, you dropped a bomb on me.
Right now, Tom Selleck's mustache is just dancing its ass off. Charlie Wilson is 61 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yes, you are, and yes, you do. Thank you, Ralph Garman. Tomorrow, it's an all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Thursday. Our old friend Jimmy Pardo will be here, comedian and podcaster who is never not funny. He stops by. Penn Jillette's going to be on the program tomorrow. We also have Jim O'Donnell from Hulu talking about Super Bowl commercials. A lot of people tune in. We're told a lot of people tune into the game just for the commercials. They don't give a lick about football.
I tape it and watch the commercials afterward. Yeah.
Lisa fast forward through the football.
I do.
You literally fast forward through the game.
Completely.
She is a bizarro woman.
She is living in bizarro land, that's for sure. Also, would you like to help support an Olympic athlete? Believe it or not, athletes that go to the Olympics, including from the great United States of America, do not have jobs in some cases and rely on charity from strangers in order to pay their rent and live.
Get a job.
Or be on the Olympic team and have somebody help you out. Ralph.
Olympics.
Why do you hate America?
I hate the Olympics. I don't hate America.
You really hate the Olympics?
It's so BS.
We're going to find out tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't get a new blacklist until after they're over, which makes it twice as bad.
There's that. Yeah.
Well, he's taking it seriously. Now it's personal, right? This time. Anyway, all of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show on the world famous.